The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Curtis Subaru Studio, streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome to The Big Show. What a scam. This destruction of Seattle with the upzoning of 27 neighborhoods. It's going to bring a lot of traffic into our neighborhood because right above us on Boylston, there are a lot of these old classic, look like they were built in the 30s or 40s, big single family houses. And those are all going to be torn down. They're going to go up to 80 feet. And it's going to be a wall of very expensive Lake Union and Downtown View apartments. It's going to do nothing to add affordable housing because the developers are just going to pay the fine instead of putting in affordable housing because you can't sell a $1.5 million condo if you've got affordable housing down on the ground floor. And so they're just going to pay the fine. The city council, I'm absolutely convinced, has been bought and paid for by developers. And yes, this is Agenda 21 playing out in Seattle, where they don't want any single family homes. They want to make sure that we are living as communally as possible. And the Seattle, as I've known it, the Seattle that I grew up in, where people actually had backyards and could barbecue on the grass, it does not exist. It's going away now because we've allowed a city council to sell out to very, very wealthy developers. And they've been bought and paid for, either with money or with power that comes with it. In Rob Johnson's case, he gets a big fat deal with the new hockey team. And he's going to, in that job, he's going to work to put a lid, the taxing district in Lower Queen Anne. So people are going to have to pay more in taxes to build out around the new Seattle Center Coliseum. By the way, the hockey arena developers, they just secured out of the house in Olympia $80 to $90 million in tax deferrals. You know, they told us this wasn't going to cost the taxpayers anything, but the interest on $80 to $90 million is pretty real money. And over several years, that's tens of millions that's going to end up costing the taxpayers when you defer their taxes. It's all playing out exactly as I've told you. But the reasons that they state that it's about affordable housing and just helping people, and whoever that soundbite was, Lorraine Gonzalez, it's to keep people who look for like me from buying houses. It's absolute nonsense. It's absolute BS that they are spinning. But Seattle, and when Cuomo says Seattle is dying, it's not just because of the drug vagrants, but it's because of politicians who are going to forever change the look and feel of this city. But that's all prelude to all the other stuff I've been planning on talking about in our Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
And we start with how Seattle is dying from all the street crime. It's not just Seattle, of course. It's happening all around the Puget Sound area. Wherever you can hear my voice, you've seen fundamental changes in the drug vagrants who have come to your neighborhood. Q13 had a great story last night about Emerald City Guitars down in Pioneer Square. Jay Boone has been building and growing this business for 23 years. And Jay's going to come on with us at 12:30 this afternoon, right after the news at the bottom of the hour. But he says that they just are on the phone constantly because of the criminals in their neighborhood. They're calling 911 constantly.
We talked earlier about how many times we called 911 in the last year. 100. We feel like fools calling them up so many times.
So they have called 100 times. And what happened a couple of days ago was pretty dramatic. They had a $3,500 guitar stolen out of their shop a week ago. They went to their surveillance camera, and they found a guy with an empty guitar case. He comes in the shop. There was nobody in the front room at the time for a moment, and the guy quickly slipped a $3,500 guitar into the case and disappeared, and they saw the empty hook on the wall, and they figured out, you know, who the guy was. So then a couple of days ago, just a week after that theft, The same guy returned, no doubt to try to steal another.
He jumps up, pulls a gun out of his pocket, starts waving it at us. He tries to make flight towards that door, at which point I grabbed the back of his coat, took him over to this counter back here, and forced him to sit down. One of my employees hit him with some...
So Jay Boone, the owner of Emerald City Guitars, he told Q13 that after the guy pulled the gun, he then took off out of the store.
The entrance was some bear mace over here, and then I gave chase to him.
And that's when Jay Boone decided, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. And he risked his life by chasing down and tackling the gunman.
I'm on top of the guy. He's face down. He's got the gun in his right hand, and he's trying to bring it around to my body. I've got this hand kind of in his face, and he bites this finger here. He brings the gun up around my head, around here, and then fires a shot.
And that's where they think the bullet went through this window right here. At that point, I just jumped away.
So he thinks that the bullet the guy fired missed him by about 6 inches from hitting him in the head. And he said, yeah, I know I shouldn't have chased a armed robber.
I'm appalled. I'm angry. I'm frustrated about what's going on down here and in our city in general.
And Jay's son, you know, blamed the politicians, our city officials.
There doesn't seem to be anything happening in any leadership role from the governor to the mayor, to the city council, and to change anything. I mean, it's getting worse. They keep talking about throwing money into this, and it's absolutely getting worse.
It is. It has gotten to a critical breaking point. Seattle is dying. We have corrupt politicians who are destroying any semblance of this being a single-family neighborhood city because the developers have been able to buy off the city council. And then you have the criminals that are taking over the streets. And it's absolutely ridiculous that we have allowed this. But we have allowed it because of who people have voted for, who the voters have put in office. We've put in the most clueless people imaginable and the most corrupt. This is an absolutely corrupt city council. And so we'll talk with Jay Boone, who chased down the armed gunman. Q13, I want to thank them for the audio. And David Rose tipped me off yesterday about this story that they had. And we will talk with the guitar store owner coming up at 12:30, right after the news. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Big Local.
And then you have what happened not far from Pioneer Square. King County prosecutors have charged a 34-year-old man, Jonathan Wilson, with attempted assault after he tried to throw a stranger woman off an I-5 overpass earlier this month. This was on March 11th. The woman was just on her way to work. And that's when this 34-year-old guy with a long criminal history, he pushed the woman against the railing of the I-5 overpass. It was 40 feet down to the freeway where rush hour traffic was flying by. And our news partners at Cairo 7 TV, they talked with passersby. This woman was horrified to hear that a man tried to throw a stranger woman off the overpass.
But that's terrifying to think that you're just innocently on your way to work and your life is threatened like that. I'm kind of in shock.
The victim told police that the man just asked her, do you want to go over the edge? As the morning rush hour traffic was zooming by 40 feet below, another passerby heard shouting and saw this man try to lift the woman over the railing. And that's when this good Samaritan stepped in, pulled the woman away from the man, and then the man shoved the good Samaritan and stepped away.
Good thing he was there. I'm pretty sure he was probably scared too, because he could have thrown both out the bridge.
Now, here's where this goes on our prosecutor. The man accused of trying to throw a stranger woman off the overpass This was his fourth arrest for assaulting strangers in the last 7 months. All of this since September. But the city dismissed the charges in the other cases. Why? Because they believed his mental health status would make it impossible to prosecute him. I want you to think about this for a minute. So our city prosecutor, he loves the weed, you know. Our city prosecutor, they have a guy arrested once, twice, three times for assaulting strangers. In one of the other cases, he punched women on the street. He, as you know, in this one, he tried to throw the woman off the overpass. But they keep putting a crazy man back out on the streets. And I tell you what, if this guy had gotten the woman over the railing, she undoubtedly would have been killed. And at some point, we're going to see something like this happen, where somebody is killed and our prosecutors could have stopped it from happening. And you're going to see families with $100 million lawsuits against the city and against the county for playing catch and release with all of these mentally ill people. And it's like they're playing games now in the prosecutor's office. But the notion that they had this guy three times previously for assaulting strangers, and they say, yeah, he's too mentally ill, let him go. How did we fall to such depths? How did we allow such idiots to take control of our prosecutor's office and our city council and our county, our state? And again, when Jay Inslee's zipping around the country talking about how great Washington is, somehow these stories get left out of the narrative from all the fawning adulation that he gets on CNN and MSNBC and The Daily Show. They talk about, oh, he wants green energy. They leave out the part about how in his state, we have mentally ill recidivist criminals trying to throw women off overpasses. What's he done about that that's so wondrous? Is he going to be able to take that magic to the rest of the country too? I'm telling you, it's just absolutely unbelievable how far things have fallen. And speaking of Jay Inslee, up next in the Big Lead...
The Big Lead. Hey, how'd this get in here?
Yeah, because, well, mentally ill criminals are trying to throw women off overpasses here, while armed gunmen are robbing guitar shops in Pioneer Square. Jay Inslee's on The Daily Show, yucking it up with Trevor Noah.
It feels inspiring.
Yeah.
Inspiring because I'm finding people who really want to see a president who believes in science.
Right.
Who believes that the number one job of the United States is to defeat climate change.
Yes.
People are telling me that that's the right message. I marched with thousands of kids in New York the other day who understand that, who believe this is a moral obligation, and who understand that, look, this is the first generation to feel the sting of climate change, and we're the last generation that can do something about it.
I'm serious, man. I mean, he just keeps pounding that drum. And meanwhile, the people who are dealing with the realities of our state, I mean, they've had it. We're at a tipping point. Seattle is dying, as Como 4 said over the weekend with that great special. But Inslee, he just keeps talking about climate on The Daily Show.
How do you then differentiate yourself from them if everybody is biting your style?
Well, number one, they'll all make potential good vice presidents.
Uh-huh. So I would consider that.
Is that really an applause line? The audience on The Daily Show, they're such morons. It was a great show when Jon Stewart hosted. But Trevor Noah, the show's just a train wreck. But they have such morons. that when Jay Inslee says, I'm going to be president and the rest will make good vice presidents, they applaud for that? Do they know what they're applauding for? Do they have any clue? Or are they just a bunch of trained sales? And then I tell you what, Jay, I'll play you a lot of this a little bit later on. But Jay Inslee, I'll play you one more here. Now, I don't have time. I don't want to shortchange it. I'll play you some of these in the fastest 15. But he's up yucking it up on The Daily Show. He's trying to get some traction for his presidential campaign. And meanwhile, the biggest city in his state is dying. Well done. I don't blame you for wanting to get the heck out of here. Get the heck out of Dodge. That is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, we're going to check the news for you. And then the guy who had it, an armed man robbing the guitar store down in Pioneer Square, and the owner of the store chased him down and tackled him, putting his life at risk. He'll tell us all about it next on The Dory Monson Show. Well, as we told you in Big Lead at noon, once again, the crime problem from drug vagrants in this area, the impact that it's having on businesses, business owners, customers, it's traumatic. It's just awful. And one guy had finally had it. He's the owner of Emerald City Guitars down in Pioneer Square. He's Jay Boone. He joins us here on Cairo Radio. Jay, it's good to talk to you this afternoon.
Good morning, Dory. I guess it's still morning in Seattle. I've been a business owner down in Pioneer Square for 23 years. I own Emerald City Guitars. And for many, many years, it's been a great experience down there in Pioneer Square.
Well, before we talk about what happened to you, talk about the evolution of Pioneer Square, because when I was a little kid, Pioneer Square was Skid Row. You know, before the stadiums, before anything, it was just where the winos hung out, and we knew not to go down there. And then there's the gentrification and the stadiums. It became this wonderful neighborhood. Tell me what you've seen over the last 23 years as the street people have kind of reclaimed Pioneer Square.
Yeah, well, I mean, I agree with you that it's always kind of had that kind of a Skid Row reputation. But when I moved down there 23 years ago, when I was looking for a location to open a new business.
Yeah.
And a couple of things I really liked about Pioneer Square is kind of that bohemian feel. There was a lot of music venues down there. They used to do this joint cover thing where you could get one stamp and just go see a lot of great music down there. At the same time with the sports arenas, there was just a great mix of sports fans, tourists from around the world coming down there, people into the waterfront, a lot of business owners, not so much residential in those days. But it was just a really colorful, kind of vibrant area and beautiful down on the waterfront. And there was always, you know, the beggars and the street people. And as you know, there's facilities down there to take care of them, the Compass Center, the Bread Alive, the Union Gospel Mission. And, there's the occasional shooting, stabbing. One thing I didn't see back in those days were people camping on the streets, piles of garbage, real aggressive panhandling and confrontation.
Right. I've seen sidewalks where people have to either cross the street or walk in the street because entire blocks of sidewalk are filled with the tents. And now it's just taken such a dramatic turn. So tell me what happened the other day, Jay, because I know that a guy came into your shop, Emerald City Guitar, stole a guitar about a week ago, right?
Yes.
Okay, about a $3,000 guitar. And that same guy returned to your shop the other day? Is that right?
Yeah, so we had a guitar missing off our wall a week ago. There's an obvious hook MPM. Okay, what happened here? Where's that guitar? So we go into our video footage and rewind, and we see a guy had walked in with a guitar carrying bag on his shoulder. Nobody was in the room at that time. He really quickly grabbed the guitar off the wall, stuck it in that bag, and then walked out the front door.
And this was about a $3,000 guitar?
Guy.
Yeah. Guitar was worth $3,000 bucks.
It's a $3,500 guitar.
Oh, my goodness. So then he comes back a few days later. You're all positive it's the same guy. So tell me what happened.
Well, we absolutely know it's the same guy. So he comes back in, because our policy is if somebody walks into the case, we take it and put it behind the counter.
Sure.
Because
yeah.
That's how people steal guitars. They walk in with an empty case. So one of my staff members asked him to take the case, put it behind the counter. He goes into another room. He wants to play a guitar. He sits down and he's playing a guitar. My employee goes, Jay, come here. Check this out. This is the same case. Guy has the same coat on. We pull up the video photo with this guy, and it's exactly the same guy.
Sure.
So I go in, and I confront the guy, and I just let him know, we have footage of you stealing guitar. You need to come in here. You need to sit down. And I'm being aggressive because I'm pissed at this guy. Excuse my French.
Yeah, of course.
And I tell him to sit down on the floor, instruct my staff members, call 911, and we're going to wait it out for the cops to come. It could be 10 minutes. It could be an hour. It could be 2 hours. So he's sitting there, and we're kind of all standing around looking at him, watching this guy, and all of a sudden he jumps up, he pulls a gun out of his pocket of his coat, points it at us, and immediately we're all recoiling, and he's got a gun, and I'm going, don't do this, guy, don't do this, it's not worth it to shoot somebody.
Yeah.
He takes off running toward our front door, and I make a decision to, you know, enough's enough. I jump on his back, I tackle him out in the street, I struggle with him into the alley. I'm on top of him. His face is down. We're in the alley. He's trying to bring his arm around, his right arm around to shoot me. All the time I'm screaming at him, don't do this, don't do this. I have my left hand in his face. He bites my finger. I pull my hand back. He swings his arm around, fires a gun about 6 inches from my head into the wall behind the J&M Cafe, at which point I leap backwards off the guy and go running around the corner, and he darts down the alley. I go back in my store. By this time, police officers are coming into the scene, 5 or 6 cars, fire engines, people. I'm in the shop. I'm bleeding. I'm shaken up. They managed to catch the guy. There was a customer in my store who one of my staff members took into a back room for safety, but he saw the guy when he came in, and he saw us sit him on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he left the shop after this all went down, and he was going to his car, and he saw the guy under the viaduct about a half a block away. He came back, got the police officers, jumped in the car with them, went and identified the guy, and they picked him up.
Wow. What do you know about the guy, the gunman?
Well, I don't know much about the guy. He's mid to late 20s, Caucasian, 6 feet tall. He wasn't like a dirty, filthy street guy. He reeked of marijuana. He was a guy that I didn't think would have a gun on him. He looked like some stoner kid that was stealing guitars. Now we find out that the guy, he's on footage like holding a guy at gunpoint in a convenience store with a mask over his face and the same gun. I recognize it when he has it out of his pocket in this footage we see, and just blatantly got this guy on his knees in front of a cash register.
Yeah.
No,
he's been arrested four times. He's been arrested since September. David Rose at Q13 was sharing his info with me. 4 times he's been arrested, assaulting strangers, punching women on the street. And I know that you said, I heard you say it at Q13, that calling 911 has almost become a part-time job because you have to do it so often down there.
So there are tons of homeless, mentally ill, drug-addicted people wandering around the streets of downtown Seattle, and more specifically in our area. And these guys are delusional. They try to come into our shop. They yell at us from the street. They threaten us. They're intimidating our customers as they're coming in the door. We put a security gate up, so it's a buzz-in deal. Now, we've had that for about a year, and it's very effective. We like it, but they're still out there. And we've been instructed to call 911 because we have restraining orders on these people. There's been a couple incidents. I took a guy down last year that was trying to assault a shop owner below us at the pet store. And their instructions are, if they show up again, call 911.
Right.
So these guys will show up, we'll call 911. The cops will come an hour later, a half hour later sometimes. You know, it's you never know. By this time, these guys have scurried down an alley behind a dumpster, wherever they go, whatever rat hole they go into, and the cops come down. We can't find them. That 5 minutes after the cops leave, they're back out there. We call 911 again. The whole thing happens again.
Yeah,
sometimes they'll arrest them. If they do arrest them, within days, they'll be right back out there.
So is that why, I mean, because you put your life in grave danger by chasing down and tackling a gunman. Is that why you, I mean, did you just snap? Did you just say enough's enough?
You know, in the heat of the moment, I felt angry. I felt angry that my staff, who I, that were like family down there, were, this guy put us in danger. I felt angry that this guy saw us as an easy mark and would come in at this business that we built up and our blood, sweat, and tears. Had he come in and just, you know, I felt like I could take this guy down, and I felt like I could apprehend this guy until the cops came, and that was my hope. And I didn't even, honestly, if I'd have thought it through, I may not have done it.
Yeah.
You know?
No,
but I did, and I'm not regretful for it. I don't know if I do it again, to be honest with you, but I'm glad they got this guy. I hope they put him away. I hope justice is served. I'm a little concerned that it may not be.
No,
after everything you're telling me about this guy, and he's still walking around doing this,
yeah.
You know, brazenly coming in and carrying a gun, and you know.
No, it's amazing. Yeah, they got to start locking these guys up. Well, Jay, I'm glad that you're all physically okay. I'm really sorry this happens. I'm sorry that, you know, you guys who are the business owners, the job creators, the tax providers, I wish that our politicians cared about you as much as they care about the drug vagrants, but everything's upside down in our region right now.
I'll tell you one thing, Dory, that it's coming to a tipping point.
Oh, I know it.
Now, I can guarantee you, I've talked to so many business owners, and we've seen the frustration. We've all seen Seattle is dying. You know, that's the huge special that's been out there. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yep.
That paints a very accurate picture of what we're dealing with.
No, I know.
I can tell you that from firsthand experience. I mean, we're down there every day, and we're not going to put up with it. I'll tell you right now, people are at that point.
They've had it.
You know, absolutely.
Well, Jay, I appreciate you sharing your story with me, and I hope our public officials are listening and that they understand the gravity of the situation. But hang in there. I appreciate business owners like you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And hopefully we can make a difference, huh?
Yep, you betcha. All right, Jay, good talking with you. Okay, Jay Boone, he owns Emerald City Guitars down in Pioneer Square. Love to hear your thoughts. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead. You're on the Dory Monson Show. Now, that's a big baby. A New York woman gave birth to a 15-pound baby girl. The quote, it was pretty violent. 15 pounds, 5 ounces, nearly 24 inches. Oh, my goodness gracious. Her name is Joy Buckley.
I knew she was going to be big, but I didn't anticipate no 15-pound baby.
The newest member of the Buckley family from Corning enjoying some quiet time with mom and dad. But it wasn't always such a happy story. After trying for about 7 years, the Buckleys gave up on getting pregnant and instead decided to adopt. And then a miracle happened.
Definitely positive. Bright blue lines all the way across.
In May of 2016, Joy found out she was pregnant, later giving birth to an 11-pound baby boy.
Now that's big. The baby she had 2 years ago. 11 pounds is a big baby. Anything over 9 pounds is considered, you know, pretty large.
Less than 2 years later, an even bigger surprise.
The thing I've always wanted to do in my life was be a mom, and finding out the first time was overjoyed. And then the second time, I was like, I'm going to be a mom to 3 kids now, you know? It's something I've always wanted to do.
Oh, good for them. But a 15-pound baby! And, you know, I heard that story last night, and I saw it right after I heard this, the Democrat sensation Beto O'Rourke on the campaign trail.
So the question is about abortion and reproductive rights. And my answer to you is that that should be a decision that the woman makes.
But the question was, do you support third trimester abortions? And his answer was yes. He got a big cheer because it's a woman's right. So this is where we are now. He says that 2 hours before that 15-pound baby was born, that if the mom had a change of heart, and if, as the new laws in New York and North Carolina have called for, if she just had one radical abortion-supporting doctor who says, oh, yeah, you're going to be depressed if you have this kid? Yeah, we'll kill it right now. Like hours before birth, a 15-pound baby even, they could kill hours before birth. And I just want to know, how did we get to this point where every single presidential candidate has gotten that radical on the Democrat side? But yeah, he's a big third trimester abortion supporter, that Beto. And then the another presidential candidate who got a lot of attention yesterday, Andrew Yang. And he proposes, he wants to give everybody $1,000 a month. And where would that come from? Amazon and Google. I'm serious. This is the guy's proposal. He was on MSNBC.
That would be paying every American $1,000 a month.
Yeah, it's about $1.8 trillion a year past current expenses. But the way you get there, Joe, and we all know this, how much did Amazon pay in taxes last year? Zero. And meanwhile, Amazon's sucking up $20 billion in business every year, putting 30% of American malls out of business. And so what we need to do is we need to pass a value-added tax that would get the American people a slice of every Amazon transaction, every Google search, every robot truck mile. And because our economy is now so massive at $20 trillion, a value-added tax at even half the European level generates $800 billion in new revenue.
Which is not even half of what he's proposing. So yeah, that's the thing that all the Democrats are running on right now. Got to get rid of the Electoral College. You can kill a baby hours before birth, and we'll give you more free stuff. We'll just take it away from other people who have earned the money, and we'll give you free stuff. Oh, what a dream utopia they will create if elected in 2020. Best 15 coming up next.